The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to the Pacific Northwest. It is an absolutely gorgeous day here in Seattle, Washington. But Drew and I are inside talking about hockey, the indoor sport. Actually, it's really interesting. When we come to Seattle, it reminds me in many respects of Vancouver, just the general weather feel. We're not that far away. It's great to have hockey in this city. It's always been a good hockey city. And today we've got one more game against the Seattle Kraken.
And a team that the Sharks have not historically played very well against. And today would be a fantastic day just to start to get some good feeling in these last four games that the Sharks have. Seattle, Minneapolis, and Minnesota, and then Edmonton, Calgary. The Sharks need to get some good vibes back, and it's a team that they haven't played well against, and there's just not a good matchup. So tonight is going to be a test again for the Sharks, like every game is. But getting off to a good start would really be helpful for this team to start feeling good about themselves again.
That's what's been weird the last couple of games. They just haven't gotten off to good starts. In fact, they've gotten off to bad starts, turning over the puck. But even in this game against Calgary, the third period, how many turnovers? They had their chances. A power play in the third period. They don't score. I don't think they got a shot on net during the last power play. And then they take a penalty in overtime after being on the power play in overtime. And that's where the game-winning goal happened. That had to be awfully frustrating for Mackenzie Blackwood, who I thought played pretty well. And don't forget about the fact that he shut out Seattle in the one win the Sharks have against the Kraken this year.
Yeah, he's been the difference maker, and he bounced back from a game that I didn't think he was great in the game before. What I didn't like about the Sharks were a couple of things. Watching the game over, and you and I talk about it all the time, critical moments. I'm a big critical moment guy, and I don't think the Sharks excelled at that at all. And our favorite Toyota key, which is puck management. And they turned the puck over far too many times. And you're going to have turnovers, but you got to make the other team earn it. So tonight will be a big, big key for them tonight is to make sure they protect the puck and manage it properly and get some offense going.
Well, as I always like to say, turnovers should be made of apple and served with a pastry, not served with vulcanized rubber to the other team as a giveaway. That's the thing. They were just handing the puck to them on a silver platter. So when that's happening, what do you do? I mean, I'm going to ask David Quinn this, but what does Coach Remenda do on the bench if this continues to happen? What does a player on the ice have to do to, say, prevent this?
There's a couple of tactics as a coach, and the one tactic never seems to work is when you harp on it. Is when you keep saying, guys, quit turning the puck over, stop. You know, you keep on that. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're highlighting the negative. So what you would do is you would talk to guys, say, guys, let's do a better job of skating off the puck. Let's push the pace a little bit. Let's get over it, help our puck carrier. And you change the tone of the message, and you kind of change the message as well, and you put more emphasis on the guys away from the puck to get in position to receive the pass. And then you talk about when you see a guy maybe cheat on the offensive side, trying to get a breakaway, or you see a guy not protect the defensive aspect of it, or protect along the boards and kind of hope pass, you just walk over to him and say, hey, listen, a good play, and David Quinn says this all the time, a good play is just getting it deep, holding on to it, protecting it, and waiting for help. So then you talk to everybody else, say, guys, let's get some help. Let's make sure we get numbers around the puck. Those types of things you reinforce.
Why am I thinking that if Mike Keenan were the coach, that he would call all the guys together and pull out the dry erase board, and he would say, all right, here's where you are and here's where they are. Just give them the puck. just keep giving them the puck and then stop talking to them. See how that works.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, at different times.
I mean, remember when Alexei Kovalev wouldn't come off the ice and you left him on for like 5 minutes, and then Kovalev messed it up by scoring?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's different tactics back then. These athletes are different now. But it's also, you know, it depends on who you are as a coach. As an assistant coach, your job is to be the buffer between the head coach and the players. Your job as an assistant coach is to, you know, do a lot of the grunt work that you have to do, but you enjoy it because you get to coach. But the other aspect is you deliver the same message, but you deliver it in a different way than the head coach. Like some head coaches are soft, big hearts, and you need a big boot as your assistant coach. That's why you have to have a mixture. Or some coaches are hard, and then you need a guy who's a little bit softer as an assistant coach, who just delivers the message in different tone.
He's like the cool cousin who shows up and tells you the same thing your father told you, but in a way that you'll listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think you try to reinforce things away from the puck that you can do. You try to reinforce that protecting the puck matters. And I find the more you harped on it, the less effective you were as a coach.
So now the Sharks are playing a team that takes advantage of turnovers, and Seattle's a pretty good 200-foot team. They're also a pretty good forechecking team, I think. They send a couple of guys in. Dave Hakstol's got that team playing in a way that makes it difficult for a team to break out. I think that's where they're the most effective. I'm not sure what you think.
Yeah, and I like their transition game, too. They track back really well. They've got a lot of the fundamentals that you need to be a good hockey team. 100 points last year. This year, not as many. They had some injuries that they had to deal with. And then you get the goaltending they got last year. But Dave Axel's an outstanding coach. He's another college coach. Understands the long game, working with teams, being able to establish that system and their identity. And their identity is a good forechecking team, good defense, physical. They like to pressure along the boards. With the puck that comes around the boards, you can't just rim it because there are deer coming down. And if you are not ready to battle and work along the boards, then you're not going to get a lot of pucks out of your zone.
So let's take a look at the playoff clinching scenarios today. The Los Angeles Kings will clinch a playoff berth if they beat the Calgary Flames in any fashion. That's the story from the NHL. But also, very interestingly, the Dallas Stars would clinch the Central Division title if they beat Winnipeg in any fashion, regulation, overtime, or whatever. I want to focus on Dallas for a second, because when you talk about teams that are, you know, favorites for the Stanley Cup, you mention a variety of teams, and not a lot of people are talking about Dallas. They remind me a lot of the Sharks when they went to the Stanley Cup final. Four lines that just keep coming at you in waves. Good, solid goaltending most of the time, although that might be their Achilles heel. He's getting better again, but he's had an off-and-on season. Remember, Martin Jones had a few of those, too.
Yep, certainly did, and he worked his way through it. Ottinger's starting to get his game back. That is a team, like you said, does not give you a break. From one first line to the fourth line, they are a strong, hard team to play against. They play fast, they're big, they're physical, they move the puck extremely well, they do everything right. As we know, they're a very, very, very well-coached team. And that is a team that I think they're happy just being a team that nobody talks about. We're going to talk about Edmonton, because they smoked Vegas last night. We can talk about McKinnon and the Avs, who are fantastic, and McKinnon's having an MVP year. Offensively, they are dynamic. We can talk about the Rangers. You can talk about anybody in the league. Dallas is a team. Look out, folks. They are for real.
I think they are. And I think as far as the rest of the West is concerned, I would be worried more about the Los Angeles Kings than I would necessarily be about Vancouver. And I'm not trying to put Vancouver down. They've had a great year. But it looks as if to me that they're going to have a learning playoff experience. And they might win a couple of rounds. Who knows? They're a great team. But I don't know if I'd want to play the very experienced Los Angeles Kings crew in the first round of the playoffs, especially if their goaltender Cam Talbot plays okay.
Well, that's the key. Will Cam be the guy that they can lean on? If Thatcher Demko comes back and comes back healthy and gets his game,
he's not back yet.
Not back yet. That's been the big change. Even though Casey DeSmith has played well, they've got the third string guy up, and he's played, I think he won three straight. They kind of got their game going. Out from the net out, they're a really good team, tough to play against. But Thatcher Demko is going to be the key when it comes to Vancouver Canucks. And well, there's Captain Obvious, that when you come to the NHL playoffs, if your goaltending's not on, you're not winning.
And that's probably why Igor Shesterkin's starting to go really well with Jonathan Quick as an experienced backup, gives the Rangers a nice advantage. Meanwhile, just to get in, I think it's going to be fascinating right now. For instance, Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, Red Wings, and Flyers are separated by 4 points. Looks like Philadelphia's starting to slide out. We'll see how that happens, but it could go any way because You have to play the games first. And speaking of that, we have to play the game tonight. We're on the air at 6:30 Pacific time with the Sharks and the Seattle Kraken. Until then, that's the morning skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.